الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا جاء رمضان فتحت أبواب الجنة وغلقت أبواب النار وصفدت الشياطين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا My most respected mothers, sisters and daughters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have once again been blessed with the blessed months. We are passing through the month of Rajab, and soon we will be entering the month of Shaban, after which the leader of all the months, the best of the months, would be granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon sighting the crescent of the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would supplicate to Allah ta'ala. And he would say, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. O Allah, grant us barakah, blessings, in the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban. Make these two months a means of barakah for me. Make these 2 months a means of blessings for me. Make it easy for me to worship you more in these 2 months. Grant me the tawfiq to begin to strive towards acquiring your nearness, your pleasure and your Jannah during these 2 months, so that I am fully ready by the time the month of Ramadan approaches and I have a set routine and a set goal by the time Ramadan begins, to acquire your pleasure, to become a God-fearing servant, so that I may be able to acquire your pleasure and acquire your Jannah. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. O Allah, grant me barakah, grant me blessings, grant me tawfiq to do good. Grant me tawfiq to strive more now in the month of Rajab, and much more in the month of Sha'ban, and much much more in the month of Ramadan. Wa balighna ila Ramadan. And O Allah, grant me the opportunity to reach the month of Ramadan. grant me barakah in the month of Rajab, grant me barakah in the month of Shaban, so I begin to strive more, and make me reach the month of Ramadan, so I can strive more and more. And I am able to become your muttaki servant. Because that is the goal of the month of Ramadan. That is the wisdom behind fasting in the month of Ramadan, performing Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan, increasing Ibadah in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu kutiba alikumus siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you. Fasting has been made obligatory upon you. Fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Just as fasting was compulsory upon the people before you. La'allakum tattaqoon. And what is the objective, what is the goal behind this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that comes the month of Ramadan, you begin to fast. And that is the main title, begin to fast. And under this title, there are so many subheadings. Begin to fast, change your lifestyle, change your routine. All the time think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By fasting in the month of Ramadan, you try to subdue and overpower your nafs. By fasting in the month of Ramadan, you must send this message home to the nafs, that from now you will have to do what my Rabb desires. I will not do what you desire. And it is for this reason, with fasting, we have been encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam through his commands and through his seerah to increase ibadah. And there are so many virtues. So, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Why? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may learn to overpower your nafs, and by overpowering your nafs, you may become God-fearing and muttaqi. La'allakum tattaqoon. My late Shaykh Haji Farooq Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say, and once he said to me specifically, when I was sat with him in Haram Sharif in the month of Shaban, that, my dear son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have made fasting compulsory upon you so that you may become muttaqi. This is the objective, this is the reason. So he said, my son, in the month of Ramadan, when you supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, you have made fasting compulsory in this month so that we may become muttaqi. So you want us to see us become muttaqi. So this is the reason why you have given us the month of Ramadan. We ask your help and we ask your assistance in becoming muttaqi. We are asking you that since you have made this month of Ramadan for us to become muttaqi, please be kind to us. Shower your mercy, shower your grace upon us, and include us from amongst the muttaqin. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to supplicate, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban. O Allah, grant us barakah in the month of Rajab. O Allah, grant us barakah in the month of Shaban. And barakah is a word which encompasses all the goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. So, O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to do those things which will bring goodness in this world, which will bring goodness in the hereafter. And that is following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming muttaqi, abstaining from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month of Rajab, O Allah, grant us barakah in this month, grant us barakah in the next month, so that we are already muttaqeen by the time we reach the month of Ramadan. And thereafter, once we reach the month of Ramadan, we reap the fruits of the month of Ramadan and we acquire many more high statuses of taqwa.
So therefore, وَبَلِّغْنَا إِلَىٰ رَمَضَان. Oh Allah, grant us the opportunity to reach the month of Ramadan. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who was always eager to go in Jannah, who was always eager to meet his Creator, and a Nabi is fully aware of the situation of this world in comparison to the situation of the hereafter. Our yaqeen and our belief and our faith and our conviction is weak. Therefore, what we read we cannot digest. What we hear we cannot digest. Whereas the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen Jannah. So he knew the difference between this world and Jannah. He was fully aware of all the comforts. And the yaqeen of a Nabi, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that due to the barakah of the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his teaching, due to his tarbiyah, our yaqeen and our belief and faith has reached that stage that if we were to observe and see Jannah and Jahannam with our own eyes, there would be no difference in our amal. There would be no difference in our amal. There would be no difference in our yaqeen or belief. It has reached its peak. If this is the condition of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then what would be the condition of the yaqeen of a Nabi? And if that is the condition of the yaqeen of a Nabi, then what about the yaqeen of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? So despite knowing the difference between this life and the life in Jannah and meeting the Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam finally came and he gave the choice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that do you wish to stay in this world for more longer or do you wish to meet the Creator? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, Allahumma fir rafiqil a'la. Oh Allah, I want to meet my friend, that is you. I want to be with my friend, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or I want to be with the friends, that is the malaika. Or I want to be with the friends, that is the anbiya, the siddiqeen, the shuhada and the salihin. And it is for this reason it is said, Al-mautu jasrun yusilul habiba ilal habib. Death is not something to be frightened of. As far as a mu'min is concerned, tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut. It is a gift of a believer. Because it is through the door of death that a person will meet the Creator. It is through the door of death that a person will be able to acquire entry into Jannah. So it is said, Al-mautu jasrun, death is a bridge. Yusilul habiba ilal habib, which makes it possible for the lover to meet the beloved, which makes it possible for the servant to meet his Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So despite knowing everything, and despite definitely wanting to meet the Creator as soon as possible, when he used to enter the month of Rajab, he used to make this dua that, Oh Allah, now that I have come so near to the month of Ramadan, grant me the opportunity to reap the benefits of Ramadan and don't take me away in Rajab. Don't take me away in Shaban. Let me live till the month of Ramadan so that I am able to acquire much more nearness to you by benefiting from the opportunities of the month of Ramadan. So Alhamdulillah, we are passing through the month of Rajab, Shaban is very near, both months full of blessings. And Ramadan and Mubarak, there is no comparison. From morning till evening, from evening till morning, each and every moment, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon His servants. Each and every moment, the blessings and barakah descends from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the servants. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, إِذَا جَاءَ Ramadan, when Ramadan al-Mubarak dawns, when Ramadan comes, when the crescent of the month of Ramadan is observed, and when the Ramadan begins, Futtihat abwaabul jannah. The doors of paradise are opened. The doors of paradise are opened. Waghulliqat abwaabun nar. And the doors of Jahannam are closed. Wasuffidati shayateen. And the shayateen are locked up and chained up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very easy for His servants to acquire Jannah in the month of Ramadan. And to tread that path which leads to Jahannam becomes very difficult. It is for this reason so many people who otherwise do not even perform Salat, perform Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. They perform 5 times Salat, they perform Taraweeh, and the 20 rakat of Taraweeh does not seem burden at all. And those people who do not even touch the Quran otherwise in the month of Ramadan, they are seen reciting the Quran, reciting the Quran, reciting the Quran. Those people who are never seen praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala otherwise, are seen in the month of Ramadan weeping, crying, and beseeching the Creator, asking for forgiveness, and making resolutions to follow the path leading to Jannah, and repenting from following the footsteps of Shaitan. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. Idha ja'a Ramadan futtihat abwaabul Jannah. He opens the doors of Jannah. That means now all the amal that takes a person towards Jannah will become easy. Waghulliqat abwaabun nar, and he closes the doors of Jahannam. That means all those amal which leads a person towards Jahannam will become difficult. Wasuffidati shayateen, and the shayateen are chained up. We have two enemies. One is Shaitan and the other is our nafs. So you have only your nafs to control. Only your nafs to control. Shaitan will not be able to influence you. And due to the barakah of fasting, we overpower the nafs as well, and nafs also comes under control. So in the month of Ramadan, acquiring the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very easy. It is for this reason it is advised that each person tries his, her utmost to turn a new life in his, her life. We must make sure that this Ramadan is going to be a turning point in my life. We need to counsel ourselves from today. And we need to motivate our hearts and minds from today. And we need to begin to work from today that this Ramadan is going to be a turning point in my life. This Ramadan is going to be a turning point in my life. I am 18 years old. So since I have become baligh, it has been 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or 7 years or 8 years. I am 30 years old. It has been 15 to 20 years since I have become baligh. I am 50 years old. It has become 35 to 40 years since I have become baligh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me 5 opportunities, 30 opportunities, 20 opportunities, an opportunity every year through the month of Ramadan to become muttaqi, to change my life, to turn a new leaf in my life. But I was not able to benefit from that opportunity. This opportunity that is coming towards me this month may be my last opportunity. It is possible that I may not live until the following Ramadan. Therefore, I must try my utmost to make sure that this is a turning point in my life, and I want to work so hard, from today I want to begin, that I want to become muttaqi. I want to become muttaqi. And who is a muttaqi? Muttaqi is that person who is the friend of Allah. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The friends of Allah are those who have no fear upon them. La khawfun alayhim. They have nothing to fear. Wa lahum yahzanun, and they have nothing to worry about. No grief whatsoever. Who are the friends of Allah? These are the friends of Allah. Alladhina amanu. Those people who are believers. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ and who are also muttaqeen. So I want to become muttaqi. In every part of my life, Every moment of my life, I want to make sure that I do not disobey my Creator. Taqwa is the quality of the heart. I want to become a muttaqi. I want my heart to be enlightened with the noor of taqwa. And once the heart is enlightened with the noor of taqwa, then the heart will not tolerate the filth of sin. The heart will hate the sin. It will hate filth. It's like a very sensitive person who likes to remain very clean, hating dirt and filth. That person will not even want to walk past filth or dirt. That person will not be able to tolerate a little bit of dust on the furniture in the home. Similarly, when a person is enlightened with the noor of taqwa, when taqwa enters the heart, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna." The center of taqwa is the heart. When the taqwa enters the heart, then that heart dislikes, rather hates the filth of sins. So it runs away from the sins. And if overcome by circumstances, overcome by shaitan, overcome by nafs, that person commits a sin. And the filth of that sin in the form of a black spot enters the heart, it sets on the heart, that person cannot sit in peace until that is cleared. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, muttaqeen are those who after committing sin, إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, will remember Allah immediately. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So my sisters, what I am requesting you to do, and myself also, and all the brothers who are sitting here with me, let us make a firm resolution and let us make this Ramadan a memorable one. A memorable one. A Ramadan that will be remembered by us not only in this world, but also when we are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Because if this Ramadan becomes a turning point in our life, then it will become a memorable one in this world and in the hereafter. So let us make a firm resolution that we want to change our lives in this month of Ramadan. There are three things that I would ask you to do. One is this, that make a firm resolution that this Ramadan is going to be a turning point in my life. And from now, begin from now, contemplate. Sit in seclusion daily for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, at least. Think about your past. Think what you were supposed to have done until now to please the Creator, what you have been unable to do. Think about all the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you. When you became balig, you were pure from all sins. Because a person, until he or she reaches maturity, that person is free from sin. Even if that person commits a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question the person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that opportunity that until 8 years old, 9 years old, 15 years old, we were pure from sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the opportunity to begin our life at the age of 12, at the age of 15, when we reach maturity, with a clean page, with a clean sheet, with a clear record. But we did not grasp that opportunity. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us so many Ramadans, we did not grasp the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us all the moments when we were in Hajj, when we were in Umrah, we did not grasp the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us so many opportunities to participate in religious gatherings, and whatever was said to us had set into our hearts. It entered our hearts. Everything was making sense. And whilst in that gathering, we made firm resolutions. Once outside, we became the slaves to our nafs and our shaitan. Think, contemplate, especially in the month of Ramadan. What was I supposed to do until now to please my Creator? What opportunities were granted to me by my Creator despite all my disobediences? And what have I done to benefit from those opportunities? Think and make resolutions for the future. And whilst making resolutions for the future, beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wake up for tahajjud. During that moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very near to his servant. And when the servant beseeches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prayer is accepted. In the darkness of the night, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask him to grant you his love. Ask him to make you muttaqi. Ask him to grant you jannah. Ask him to grant you refuge from jahannam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there are four things that you should do in the month of Ramadan. Two are for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and two are those things without which you cannot do. The first two which are for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you should recite in abundance, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is only the first part that is mentioned in the hadith, La ilaha illallah. But you can complete the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is a great kalima. But because it is a very common kalima, everybody knows it, everybody recites it. It is with this kalima that we begin our life. It is with this kalima that we wish to depart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us departure with this kalima. And it is this kalima that the Anbiya used to recite. It is this kalima that the Ummah recites. So because it is very common, and something which is very common is not seen as valuable. But it is very, very valuable. Very, very valuable. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, grant me a special formulae of zikr through which I may remember you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Musa, la ilaha illallah. So he asked again, that, O Allah, I want something special. He said, O Musa, say la ilaha illallah. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Allah, everybody reads the kalima la ilaha illallah. I want something special for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Musa, if the whole world, if the seven heavens and the earth and everything that they contain was put into one scale, and la ilaha illallah was put into the other scale, this scale containing la ilaha illallah will outweigh everything else. So la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Daily each person should endeavor to recite la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah 100 times. And in the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each person should try to read la ilaha illallah as much as possible. And number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, istighfar. So for the pleasure of Allah, in the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed these two wadaif. Astaghfirullah. Yani ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Repent, cry to him, beseech him. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving. Oh Allah, forgive me. These are the two things to please him. And the other two things without which you cannot do. One is ask him for his jannah. And number two, ask his refuge from the fire of Jahannam. My late father, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, when I was very young, at the age of 5, 6, I'm sure keeping this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in mind, taught me in the month of Ramadan something to recite. And he said to me, he said, my dear son, in the month of Ramadan, this is what you should recite frequently. And I still remember, he said, La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, as'aluka al-jannah, wa'udhu bika minal-nar. La ilaha illallah, the kalima. Astaghfirullah is istighfar. As'aluka al-jannah, I ask from you your jannah. Wa'udhu bika minal-nar, and I ask your refuge. So these are the four things we have been instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, during the time of tahajjud, after every ibadat, make a short dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the tawfiq to change your life for the better. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the tawfiq to remain steadfast until you breathe your last. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you steadfastness so that you do not turn back. You continue progressing further and further. and you are included from amongst the very beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strive and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Strive and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of iftar. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before iftar. And beseech Him, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that at the time of iftar, when a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that person the item he is asking for. So my sisters, this is the first thing I would like you to do during the month of Ramadan. And start from now. Contemplate and make a firm resolution that you want to change from now. You want to become the waliya. You want to be like Hazrat Rabia Bisriya, rahmatullahi alayha. You want to become like Hazrat Fatima to Zahra radiyallahu anha. You want to become like Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. You want to become like Hazrat Umme Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. You want to become like the Sahabiyat. You want to become like Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam. We need to be ambitious when it comes to deen. And we need to make a goal that this is what I want to achieve. So make a firm resolution and begin from today. Don't give up. If you trip over, if you slip, then get up again and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start again. This is the first thing. Second thing, make a firm resolution that the whole month of Ramadan will pass without a single disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No evil glance, no watching television, no listening to music, no gossiping, idle talk, no backbiting, no slander. All the evils that we have in our lives, I do not want to commit a single crime. I want the whole month, the month of Ramadan, to go smoothly and pure from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we cannot acquire the benefits of the month of Ramadan is for two reasons. One is we are not eager. We don't have a set goal. In our minds, what we have is that this is the month of Ramadan. I want to try and do as much as I can. And the end of the story. We have no resolution that I want to be like this throughout my life. And the second reason is, we do not try hard to keep our fasting and keep the ibadat of our nights pure from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the barakah goes away. It's like warming a room with a full heater in a very cold winter and thereafter opening all the doors and all the windows. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ وَرُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءُ. There are so many people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the night during the month of Ramadan, but they get nothing except for loss of sleep. And there are so many people who fast during the month of Ramadan, but they get nothing except for hunger and thirst. Why? Because they fast and they commit sins also. They stay the night awake and they commit sins also. So the second resolution we need to make is that our month of Ramadan will be pure from every mistake, every sin, every second of the month. And we will continue to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our whole life like that. And the third and the final point, I will make sure that not a single second of the month of Ramadan will be wasted. Not a single moment will be wasted. Make a timetable for yourself and begin from now, from the end of Rajab. One should begin right from the beginning of Rajab and slowly, slowly make a routine for oneself, keeping the month of Ramadan in mind. With your daily course, set your prescribed practices, your ma'amulat, and slowly, slowly increase them. Daily you are reciting Durood Sharif 300 times, increase it to 350. Take it to 400. Beginning of Shaban, take it to 450. So in the month of Ramadan, you are reading Durood Sharif daily 1000 times. You are reading Quran every day, one juz. In the month of Rajab, increase it to 1 1/4. Shaban, 1.5. So in the month of Ramadan, you can recite 3, 4, 5 juz. Set a system, set a routine, and make a very firm and solid timetable which you will follow during the month of Ramadan, through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the tawfiq not to waste an even single second. I was reading some writings regarding the late Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, and his brother had stated that during the month of Ramadan, after which he passed away, this was his last Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, because of heart attack, he was admitted in a hospital in Delhi. And his brother said that he was in a critical condition when I went to visit him. He said he began weeping, and he was in tears and he could not even speak to me. And he was crying. So I comforted him, and after a while, when he was able to speak, and those people who have seen Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala know how brave he was and how strong he was, to the extent that he was in his either early 30s or late 20s when his father, the late Shaykhul Islam Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, passed away. And Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi was a father of the nation. Everybody's back was broken when he passed away. And he was the oldest son, and his father had left behind young siblings whom he was responsible for from now. But despite the shadow of this great father leaving him, it was he who was comforting all the other people. So firm and so tough. But here he is seen weeping and crying and sobbing. So when the brother asked him what was wrong with him, he said, the month of Ramadan, and I am here in hospital, no tilawat, no zikr, no ibadat. That is what I am crying for. And he said, it is possible that this may be my last Ramadan. And every day he was asking the doctors, that can I leave, can I go? When the doctors permitted him, he went straight to Deoband again, and there he started his daily routine. And in the last Ashara, he also went into Etikaf. So this is what we need to do. We do not want to waste a single second. We need to fix times. After Fajr, for 1 hour, this is what will happen. For 1.5 hour, this is what will happen. This is the time for sleeping. Try to get a copy of the suggested timetable for the month of Ramadan. And working around the timetable that has been suggested, make your own timetable. Make sure you fulfill the rights of your household, of your parents, of your husband, of your children. Because if you do it sincerely, that will also be ibadat for you. And with that, whatever other time that you have, instead of wasting it in gossip and idle talk and other unnecessary activities, spend it in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the three directives that I wish to leave you with. Number one, contemplate. How old you are, what you've been doing in the past, what opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, what opportunities you could not grab or you did not grab, where you should have been today at this age, with all the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted you. And thereafter, make a firm resolution not to make the same mistake in the future. And make ambitions for the future. Make goals and objectives for the future. And number two, make sure that you do not commit a single sin throughout the month of Ramadan. And number three, you do not waste a single second in the month of Ramadan. And during the month of Ramadan, beseech Allah, cry to Him, remember Him, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ask for forgiveness for the past, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And ask Him to grant you Jannah, to save you from Jahannam. And ask Him for all the other lawful needs of this world and of the hereafter. I appeal to all of you to make dua for this humble, sinful one and all his associates as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the whole ummah goodnesses of this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.